Everybody that loves the Lord, say amen.
Amen.
The Lord sure has. He's been good to us. That's fine. And he's not just been good to us. He's been God to us. I bless his name. The Lord, I believe, is enjoying this service.
Amen.
Key part of that word would be joy. The Lord's finding joy in this service. It's a mistake to think so often that church is for us. This is the Lord's bride. He calls his bride in here, and he wants some loving from her. If you think for a minute that he's not looking down and coming by, moving in here, and enjoying his bride as she serenades him.
Amen.
This ain't for you, selfish Americans.
Hey.
It's for the Lord.
Amen.
Sometimes you can really feel that. It's for the Lord. Amen. This service, so many of our services are for the Lord. And there are times that he has great intentions on helping us. But he come by to hear his bride sing. He's at the window, looking through the lattice. That's Solomon. He's a little higher than us. We're serenading.
Amen.
Glory. My heart is full. I have so many comments running through my soul. Thank the Lord for it.
Amen.
20 different blessings running through my soul. Think about all these weeping Marys. Seemed like two of the young ladies that carried this revival last year. They're back. They're on the altars again, carrying it again. Bless the Lord. Weeping Marys. Every time I see the ladies on the altar, their tears and their hair, the hair being the glory, it's why all these certain words I hate to use in church. That's why this perverse generation, these gals hack their hair off and decide they don't like men. That hair's the glory.
Amen.
I know a lot of older ladies have shorter hairstyles. I'm not referring to you. But that hair's that glory. When I see the women on the altar, the ladies, the girls, I know where the Lord is at that moment.
Amen.
It's New Testament. When they're at his feet, the tears, they're washing his feet. That glory, that hair, and them tears. There's been some foot washing going on here tonight, washing his feet. If you think it ain't as precious and as real as what happened in the Gospels, then you're clueless. It's real. It's as real. This night was recorded just like any chapter in the Gospels where the women washed his feet with their hair and their tears. It's recorded just the same. It's the same look and the same thing happening. And in glory, he'll let us look back on this night. It'll mean just as much to him as what he put in the Gospels.
Amen.
Me and Mallory run this meeting if y'all leave us alone. We can handle it. All preachers' kids can run a church with one hand tied behind their back, blind, going backwards. Can run a church. Ain't the Lord been good to us?
Amen.
I got here a little early, but I wasn't ready to talk to y'all, so I parked down the road. I visit folk after church. I'll hang around and fellowship, but beforehand, I don't need to see you. One of you is liable to be backslid, carnal, and grouchy, and have a devil on you. Try to put it on me. Then I'll be tempted to smite thee before the service even begins. Lord, that'd be bad. I parked over here. Some of you probably see me when you go by, but I pull up on that gravel hill. And there's the railroad tracks, and there's that old rusty building, the roof, just the roof. Notice last year there's homeless people under there. Tonight I pulled up there and parked, and there's a young man, too young to be down there. He looked to be about 25 or 22, by himself, already out of his mind. Had on shoes and shorts and a hat, and that was it. And he kept walking around by himself on that concrete, doing like this. Go back and forth. There wasn't nobody down there but him. Already doped out of his mind. I'm going to tell you what I seen, though. I seen a preacher. Oh, it's sad. He ain't never going to get to fulfill his call. That boy's walking back and forth and looked exactly like what I do every night. I'm telling you, the gifts and callings of God without repentance. Elvis should have stayed in the church choir. He wouldn't have died so early. And I'm gonna do a little something right here that hurt all of you Tennessee's feelings. Dolly Parton shouldn't be quite such a hero to you. She wears a miniskirt and looks like a, and dresses like a, and somehow we've accepted it. And we call that Christian. I'd carry my family over there. I appreciate how it's family oriented. But we so goofy in Tennessee, we'll call her a wonderful Christian lady. And if any of you ladies dressed like that and presented yourself like that, it'd be unacceptable. She should have stayed in the choir, shouldn't have went to Nashville. Y'all talk to me. She should have stayed in the choir. I seen a preacher. I know it like I know who I am. I know what I was looking at. I was looking at a boy supposed to be in a pulpit somewhere, but sin. There wasn't a soul down there. That boy walking back and forth across that concrete, and it was 4 foot down, and he did this. Is that Romans 10 or 11? Romans 11, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. And a dear pastor friend of mine called me, and I took his call, and I began to tell him what I was observing. Me and him both began to weep. We got a dear preacher that preached revivals. Preached revivals for a while across several states. Wouldn't or couldn't get off the heroin. Pain pills, then back to other stuff, then on to heroin. Left his wife, two little daughters. This man was a full-time evangelist. Grew out his hair, grew out his beard. Ain't nothing wrong with a beard, but this boy grew out his hair, grew out his beard. You understand? Got arrested. They showed me his mug shot. That boy laid behind the pulpit at the Redfield, and 10 of us laid hands on him at one time. One of the most gifted young evangelists. They showed me his mug shot, 5 charges. What do you call it? Stealing cars? Grand Theft Auto. Several other charges. Then he got out of prison, only was there about 2.5 years. And then we got a call 3 months ago. He's on life support, overdosed. He's on life support, may not last the night. And we can't find out anything else. I sat up there and looked at that boy. And I told my pastor on the phone, Brother Tom, I said, I'll be 500 yards from that. Right now, he's probably right there doing that. I'll be 500 yards from that boy, but I'll be in a church. That could be me. Just as easy. Somewhere just a little. The heart. Somewhere that my heart said, yes, Lord, and his said, no, God. Just one little turn, one little night, and I could have been that one over there preaching to demons, and he could have been here preaching to Christians. I did a study on Sharon. I am the rose of Sharon. Solomon 2, verse 1. And trace it out through the scriptures. And it's the field of grace. Sharon is no valleys and no mountains, and it's easy. There's nothing there that'll harm you. Everything's beautiful. It's where the king sends his royal flocks to lie down and fatten them up. It's a beautiful study. Sharon. Where the roses do not have thorns. Oh my. As I study and share in that field of grace, I noticed something on my Bible map. The plain of Sharon, it was a region, not necessarily a town, it was a region, and it was a plain of the most fertile grass and beautiful flowers right next to the water, the Mediterranean. But I noticed something in my Bible map as I look, and it says Sharon in that northwest part of the Holy Land. I noticed something said Megiddo. Right that close to it, Brother Sievert. The valley of Armageddon, where the judgment's going to fall, where the blood's going to rise to the horse's bridle. And here's what I saw, people, people of God. Here's what I saw. The field of grace is real close to a valley of hell. Heaven's that close to hell. Brother Tommy, and thank y'all, Brother Lawson, all y'all coming over. Do you know the only thing separated Sharon from Megiddo? There was one hill. There was one mountain. Amen. Pastor got it. James got it. Mustache got it. Y'all ain't getting it. I'm going to try that again on you. There's one thing. Sharon and Megiddo are that close to each other, but there's one hill between the two of them. Thank God for Calvary's Hill. In an alternate universe, that's me. 500 yards from here. Naked nearly. Out of my mind, but my gift's still working. Not benefiting nobody, but working. That boy looked so much like a preacher preaching. He'd stop and do like that. I ain't never in my life. You're that close to what you could have been. You're that close to what you would have been. Oh, my. Oh, my. My Lord, when you walk out of here tonight, go through some of these neighborhoods, get back to the interstate, or some of you back to your house, some of you back to the hills. You're going to see some things that should have been you, could have been you, but for Calvary. There's one hill between me and that. Oh, my sister. Boy, I like that mountain singing.
Amen.
What is that, 100 Gibsons over there in the hills? One under every tree and two behind every bush, and they all sing and shout. Only one thing will matter. Oh, my. My hope's in the blood. Lord, have mercy. Well, it's wonderful. Let me show you one thing. Go to Matthew 3. Y'all want to see one thing? I never did finish that. I never did start that message last night. It's four things I was going to show you. We never got to none of it. We'll be here the next 3 nights or 3 months, so. I was going to show you one thing before we leave. Lord, thank you for Calvary. Thank you for Jesus, Holy Ghost. Help me tonight. Help us every night. Lord, how we love you and thank you in Christ's name that we're allowed to pray. Amen. Lord, mercy. I'm full, but I'm trying to give you what I'm supposed to give you. If I said everything I wanted to say, I'd be here to midnight and still be talking. Matthew 3 and 4, something's beautiful. I was going to show you one little thing. Brother Reggie's heard me talk about this before. Matthew 3, he poured the Spirit on him. You see it in verse 16, that baptism at the Jordan River. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, lighting upon him. All right, Matthew 3, he gave him the Spirit. Then in Matthew 4, he turned him over to the devil. I might should use a different turn of phrase. Turned him over to the devil. That happens to some people. Let's say that a little different. He was led up into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And in a sense, God gave him to Satan for a while. See it, chapter 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And here's what I want to say. I just want to say this. I'll quit when I need to quit. Here's what I want to say. Isn't it amazing that God knows the chapter's coming? You're going to be in the wilderness with Satan. So in the previous chapter, he puts you in the water with the Spirit.
Amen.
Isn't that something when he knows that a Satan chapter's coming? And he gives you what you need ahead of time. You said something last night, Pastor. By the way, to clarify, I'm fine with you calling me Brother Dean. Don't be calling him Josh or Joshua.
Amen.
You call him Pastor, Preacher. You call him Brother Josh. Just make sure you love him like a man of God when you say it.
Amen.
Clarifying a little bit from last night. Somebody said, I'm sorry I called you Brother Dean. No, I'm your brother and my name's Dean. But I like that brother part.
Amen.
Brother Josh, you said something last night You said last year God gave us that 3-week revival. Felt like a 3-year revival packed into 3 weeks. And then you said you had the worst year you've ever had. And you just set me off to shouting because I've been preaching this for 4 months. I like to hurt myself. My gizzard bumped into my appendix and run it up to my liver. There's a happy bubble got loose in there. Like getting shot with a .22 and won't come out. Just my happy bubble was to... You said God gave us that revival last year, and then I went into the worst year I've had on the ministry front and on the home front and probably on the personal front. And I'm just shouting. Did you hear what you said? You went into a chapter 4, but he gave you a chapter 3. It wasn't the revival that brought on the bad year. God saw the bad year and brought on a revival. Hey! What you ought to do is circle the spirit in Matthew 3:16, and then run a line down to 4:1 and circle the devil and just tell him something like this. Ha, 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 God got here first. I even write it. I write crazy stuff in my wide margin. Don't read my Bible. You'll lose your mind. Woo! Ha, ha, ha. God got here first. You know how long Satan had been looking for him? Tried to kill him when he was a baby. Couldn't find him. God hid him in a barn. Everybody else had a motel room, just like yesterday in the eclipse. I'm still bitter. Took me 5 hours to get here, Brother Tom, and every license plate was a Yankee one. It was. I didn't think no blasphemous language, but I thought about a lot of strong farm language. I had a lot of strong farm language that I was entertaining and enjoying it. Everybody had a motel room. Everybody was traveling when Jesus was, that night he was being born, it was time to be taxed, and everybody was doing the big, they had to do a big travel. Some of y'all been whining on God because you don't trust him. I need to rake you over the coals for just a moment with all your whining. God's got me in a barn, me and my family. Everybody else is at the Holiday Inn. Guess what? Everybody else is crying because their baby just got killed, but the devil can't find yours. It's in a barn.
Amen, brother.
I don't think they got that. I'm going to expound it just a tad bit more. Everybody... In Ramah there was a great lamentation and a voice of weeping. Honey, because the Herod was killing all the babies under 2 years old. And they couldn't, there was no room for them in the inn. God hid them in a barn in Bethlehem. And the devil couldn't find that baby that night. God got some of you having your babies in a barn. And you need to understand that he knows what he's doing. Quit griping about it. Quit complaining about it. In everything, give thanks. Not for everything. If you're having trouble thanking him for it, he didn't say to. He said, in everything, give thanks. If you're having trouble thanking him for it, you ain't got to. Just thank him in it.
In it. Amen.
In everything, give thanks. It's hard to thank him when you've got a little box you're carrying down to the graveyard. I don't know how I'd thank him for that, but God will give you grace to thank him in it. I'm thinking of last 2 summers ago, a missionary family in the wintertime up in Carolina, leaving a Sunday morning service where I was close by going to a Sunday night service to a good friend of all of ours. And the car hit ice and slid off, Brother Tommy. And there's only one phone pole, and it was an empty field and an empty road, far as the eye could see. And only one phone pole, and it smashed into it, and their newborn baby was killed in the back seat, sliding across that ice. I happened to be with the pastors and got the phone calls, and was all scurrying around trying to get to this little missionary family who was on their way to the other church that evening. And there's a pastor called where I was. He didn't call me. He called the pastor. And I sat there and listened to the phone call. And he said, "I found them. They're out here sitting in the snow in a circle. Him and his little wife and four other kids, and they're holding this baby. And they won't let the ambulance take it yet. Everybody, the baby's dead." I said, "But they're having a prayer meeting. And they're thanking God. They're thanking God for the time they had this baby." He said, "They're having a prayer meeting. Only one pole, not a tree, not a house, not a building, nothing else in sight. Why does God let your baby hit the only pole in sight? I don't know. I don't know why, but I know who."
Amen.
A lot of days we ain't going to know the why, but we're always going to know the who.
Amen.
Amen. And they were thanking God. That pastor marveled. He was relaying to us what he was witnessing. He said, "They're having the sweetest little prayer meeting." He said, "I didn't know God gives grace that quick." God gives grace the moment you need it. It's when God gives grace. Oh, Lord. In everything, give thanks. Oh, my. There are going to be some chapter fours in your life. Satan's going to be turning loose on you. But something I've noticed, God gives us some chapter threes. And before Satan comes, the Spirit comes. I give you Bible students and preachers something to chew on. I heard old man of God say the other day, John the Baptist, the only man that on record ever seeing the Holy Spirit. He saw him. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove. Ain't nobody else on record ever having seen the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We're close enough to the hills to talk about this. It'll be a little funny. Some of you get your feelings hurt, but you know. Only feller ever seen the Holy Ghost was a Baptist. I know half of y'all got a preaching granny. I can't help that. God bless you. We're too close to the hills. Amen. Y'all got them tongue-speaking, preaching grannies. That ain't my fault. That's your family. I can't help it. He saw the Holy Spirit. Nobody's ever seen the Holy Spirit. Ain't never been a greater born among women than John the Baptist. He was Elijah, if they'd have received it. And Elijah was in the Jordan. And he said something strange to Elisha that's similar to what's happening here. Elisha said, "I want a double portion." Elijah said, "If God lets you see this today."
That's right. Amen, brother.
He did too. Amen.
If he lets you see it, he'll let you have it.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something, all you youngins in here. God, these youngins, God's put you in this revival from last year, and it's the same revival this year. He's letting y'all see some things because he's got full intention of giving y'all some things.
Amen.
What you're seeing these days is stuff you're going to be receiving.
Amen.
Yeah. Elijah said, if God lets you see it, then he's going to let you have it.
Amen.
No, John the Baptist saw it, the Holy Spirit. That's amazing, ain't it? I'd like to ask him about that. I'm going to. Of course, it won't matter then. Will we be curious still in heaven? Perfect knowledge. My, my. God knew chapter 4 was coming, and he gave him chapter 3 ahead of time. I'm almost done tonight. I'm just obeying the Lord. Sometimes you need an hour and 22 minutes of preaching. Sometimes you need 12 minutes.
Amen.
Some folk I know need a solid week. I don't even know if it'd help them then, even then. Back when I pastored in the 90s, one church in Florida, God saved a pile of sinners. It's amazing to behold. I don't know what was going on, just God. And something strange would happen. They'd get saved, many of them not church members. I'm glad when God saves church members, but many of them right out of the world, right out of a bad family, right out of sin, right out of secularism, just right out, some of them out of a real ditch.
Thank you, Lord.
They'd get saved.
And
then something would happen. In the next 3, 6, 9 months, awfulest things in their life. Everything fall apart, blow up. The bottom fall out. It was so common to behold. It's happening over and over. And somebody finally articulated it and said, "Preacher, why? Why did God save me? And then everything fall apart?" I thought that was a pretty good question. I'm pretty sure I didn't have the answer. So I said something that would be good for some of you to learn to say, "I don't know." It takes more wisdom to confess your ignorance than to hide it. And I said, "I don't know. So I'm going to go pray about it." And I did, and I went and prayed, and Brother Sievert, I couldn't even get the words out. I barely got it, prayed. I said, "Lord, why are you saving all of them and then they're light?" And he just interrupted me. I think he knew where I was going. He just interrupted me. He said, "Son, if you just put it in my heart, go back and tell them." And so next Sunday morning I did. And here's what I told him. I said, "The Lord's given me wisdom on it." Just right away he gave me the wisdom on it. It wasn't that God saved you and then your life fell apart. It was that God saw your life was going to fall apart and he stepped in and saved you before it did.
Amen.
Because you would have fell apart without God. And God kept you from falling apart when your life fell apart. And I thought about, and I was down there in South Georgia, me and Brother Reggie and Brother Tim and several of us go down every year to our dear friend in Americus, Georgia. And 30-something years ago, that dear pastor down there had been pastoring that church for these years. His wife walked out on him. He never married. He just stayed alone and stayed faithful to God. His wife walked out on him. Wicked woman. Run off with a younger man. And he immediately went to resign. And his little church gathered around him and said, "No, no, preacher. Oh, no. You stood by us in our storms. We're going to stand by you." And he remained single. Do with that what you want. I believe he'll be all right at the judgment seat.
Amen.
And Brother Tom, I was preaching this last year. And I'd heard them talk earlier, 30 years earlier. They'd had a 6-week revival at their church. And they said it was so powerful, it's what carried them for 30-something years. A 6-week revival. Services to midnight or beyond. People saved every night. And just unbelievable, the power, explosive power, dynamite power of God exploded. Okay? I heard them talk about that 6-week revival. I was preaching this on God to give you a Matthew 3 before your Matthew 4. He'll give you the Spirit before he gives you the Satan. I was preaching that, and the next morning, the dear pastor down there, he took me and another preacher and another pastor. We all went to a little Amish restaurant. And sitting on a swing after we eat, drinking coffee, sitting on the front porch swing, the rain on the tin roof. Our bellies filled with natural organic farm food. Amen. I got to missing all my processed chemicals. I run by McDonald's on the way home. Had to get some chemicals back in. That healthy stuff will kill you. I'm telling you, it will. Amen. It's bad enough your song leader skinny. Now you done getting skinny on us. I ain't coming back. Now you boys better put some weight on. I'm going to break fellowship. I don't hang around skinny people on purpose. Amen, James. We're sitting out there on that front porch on that swing, the rain hitting that metal roof and that organic butter churned Amish food. Woo, glory. And the old pastor was crying. Tears. He said, I've been up all night. Can't sleep, been shouting. He said, I've never connected the two. He said, it was that 6-week revival. And soon as it ended, the next week is when my wife left me. And he said, if God hadn't had me so filled with God and glory, right, with grace and strength, right, he said, if he hadn't have given me a Matthew 3, took me down in the waters and poured out the Spirit on me, amen, a voice from heaven, this is my beloved son. I mean, his father loved on him. And his Spirit lit on him. Amen. Yeah. He said, if he hadn't have given me heaven in the chapter right before hell came, he said, I would have never survived. Amen. Isn't that something? That God gives us the Holy Spirit. He's got a chapter. And he'll open up heaven, speak to us. And pour. Our Father was, this is my beloved Son. Because what verse is it? Chapter 4, verse what? I need help. If thou be the Son of God. What is it, Tommy? Brother Tommy. Verse 3. What about that? He knew Satan was coming to question his sonship. If thou be the Son of God. And God done said, no, we're going to talk ahead of time. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. It's going to be called into question, but I'm going to settle the question before the questioner gets here. Yeah. Oh my. And some of y'all here in the deep south, there's been so much God on you, that's why Satan gets on you about your salvation. You got so much God on you. I've never seen carnal people wrestle with the doubt of their salvation. I've never seen backslid people wrestle with the doubt of their salvation. They don't care. They're enjoying being backslid. Carnal people love this world. They don't care about going to the next one. It's only the dearest, most sensitive, sweetest, some of the best Christians who Satan jumps on them about their salvation. Because they're the only one who cares about it. And I just want to tell you, if you wrestle with that, don't feel like something's wrong with you. Because Jesus himself, Satan tried to pull that stuff on him. That ought to tell us something. If Lucifer would try to tell the Creator, God in the flesh, that he ain't the Son of God, Don't think something's wrong with you when he come around and tell you, you really ain't the son of God. You need to tell him, you know, we've been talking about you. You told this same thing to Jesus. I must look a lot like Jesus to you. You don't go around telling devils this, do you? You don't go around telling your own children they ain't saved. You just tell Jesus and everybody that belongs to him. I'm glad he'll give you a Matthew 3 before he'll give you a Matthew 4. And if the Lord wants, before I get out of this meeting, we'll go in this wilderness and we'll fight the devil. It's a beautiful story. But that's enough for tonight. I was 13 last July the 29th, 82, when God filled me with the Holy Ghost, put the call on me. May have saved me that night. That's when I felt like I got saved. I came to the Lord when I was a boy, and he came to me when I was a lad. Which one did you get saved? Don't know, don't care. I don't give a rip. I ain't trusting a time, a date, a place, or a prayer. I'm going to run that by Yinz's again up here in Tennessee. I ain't trusting a time. I ain't trusting a date. I ain't trusting a prayer. I ain't got a spot. I got like four spots. I'm trusting a Savior. He's got wounds in his hands and a word in his mouth, and he's got blood for my soul. I know in whom I have believed. It didn't say I know when I have believed, or I'd trust when. It didn't say, I know half your friends are spiritual. They got to have a who, a when, they got to have a when, a where, a how, and a why. Yeah. Well, bless their little old outfit. Some of you got a where and a when. Some of you got nothing but a whom. Amen. My older sister got 7 wheres. She said, just pick one. I'll see you in heaven. She said, whatever makes you feel good about my salvation, just pick one. Amen. She said, I've been trying to get saved half my life, and I was saved the whole time. Amen. Ever since he saved me. Ask him. I know whom I have believed. Not where, when, what, or how. We try to figure out all that stuff. You ain't supposed to figure that stuff out. You're supposed to figure that stuff in. Amen. You figure the when, the where, the what, the how. You just figure that in. That's reckoning faith, Romans 4. Real faith don't figure God out. It figures God in. Amen. Some of you just looking at me. Because your favorite song and your favorite preacher ain't never talked like this. Well, I probably like your favorite preacher, and I probably enjoy your favorite song. Amen. But I'm like a feller I was counseling last year. He's about 30 years of age. Love the Lord. Trying his best to figure out if he's saved or not. And he finally figured it out by figuring it in. Here's what he said. He said, oh my, he was frustrated. He said, oh my goodness. I can't trust a prayer. I can't trust a place. I can't trust an experience. I guess then he was aggravated. He was hollering half at me and half at I don't know who else. He said, I guess I just have to trust Jesus. Amen. Like, amen. Congratulations. Amen. Please, sir, say that again. Say it again. Amen. He said, I guess I just have to trust Jesus. Amen. And not all that other stuff. I said, can we go to Waffle House now, please? Sir, you're killing me. You've been born again the whole time, and I'm dying for a bowl of chili, and you want to talk crazy? He said, I guess I just have to, got nothing left but Jesus. I said, oh, okay. Is that enough? So I was 13. I heard a message on hell. I was about 9 or 10. I run to the altar. I came to the Lord. When I was 13, the Lord came to me. You pick one, I don't care. Whichever one makes you feel better about my salvation. But our family had the awfulest years. My dad's ministry had the awfulest years. My older sister had the awfulest years when I was 14, 15, and half of 16. Things I don't even want to talk about with my best friend. Things I don't even want to talk about with my wife. Y'all have some of those things. A lot of darkness, a lot of devils. Near death, near hell. I could mention three things specifically, and they're all horrible. Volkswagen went off a 12-foot bank, rolled. Things in five different fronts. Hell came so close, and we came so close to hell. They ain't never had as off as 3 years. But you know, he got there. He got there first. He got there first. And when I hit the bottom, I didn't. I said, when I hit the bottom, I didn't. Bottom turns out it's a foam pit with squishy little rubber balls in it. It's a yeah, woohoo. When I hit the bottom, I didn't. Hit loving arms right there. I said, you all the way down here? He said, I was here before you got here. Oh yeah, he gave me a July the 29th, 1982, before 83, 84, and 85.
Amen.
My sister, now she's a missionary's wife. Things that, you know, them things that are unspeakable. Going on around you and going on. Hell came after us. But heaven had pre-anticipated. Is that a word? It's a word now. Heaven had pre-anticipated it.
Amen.
And beat the devil there.
Amen.
I'm closing. King of Sodom came after Abram at the end of that great battle. But the king of Salem got there first. Read it for yourself. The end of Genesis 13 or 14, King of Sodom come after Abram, that man that God started a work of faith in chapter 12. But the king of Salem beat him there. And the king of Salem brought bread and wine, that's the body and blood of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And the king of Sodom said, me and you, I'm going to own you and you're going to serve me. And we're going to be having a light. Abram said, there's somebody done been here, sir. There's another king done been here. And I done entered into a thing with him.
Amen.
And you got to go on down the road.
Amen.
I bless the Lord for it. What about that? God gives us a Matthew 3 so we can survive our Matthew 4.
Amen.
You know where you go in Matthew 5? Glad you asked. You go on the mountaintop with Jesus.
Amen.
It was the Sermon on the Mount. There's three good chapters where you sit on a mountaintop with the Son of God and hear the glories of heaven run
Amen.
Through him.
Amen.
If y'all just hang in there in that Matthew 4, it'll be over with in a little while.
Yes.
And you're going to a mountaintop with the sweet Son of God.
Amen.
He's going to set you down. Everything's going to be better.
Yeah, right.
All the hell's leaving.
Yeah,
Bible said in Matthew 4, I think it's verse 11, then behold, the devil leaveth him, and angels came and ministered unto him. Yeah. Oh, Lord. What do y'all think about my 12-minute sermon? Ain't you glad I didn't get that hour 22-minute sermon? Amen. Let's stand up, bow our heads. Somebody needs to come pray about these things. Come back to the piano, friend. Somebody needs to come pray about these things. Come on.